Good morning again, my friends. This is David Saul from Beholding His Glory, and yes, you are listening to Pebbles of Truth on WJCB Radio. Now, as I said last Sunday, we will start this Sunday to look at how truth makes hearing possible. Now, somebody is going to ask the old proverbial chicken or the egg question, as with faith. And that is, if faith comes by hearing the Word of God, then how much faith do you have to be able to hear the Word of God? Well, Romans 10:17 does not say that initially you must have faith to hear the Word of God. But Romans 10:17 does say that faith comes by hearing the Word of God. So the question really is this: what is the motivation for human beings once God reveals truth to hear? I hope you get that. Well, that is a supernatural awakening of God. It is. It's supernatural. How many understand that when God speaks, and when He speaks, that it awakens in us, if I can put it in that way, the ability to hear? God does not talk just to hear the sound of His own voice. Oh, no. He does not talk and then under His breath say, "Wow, I sure hope somebody can hear me." Oh, no. When God speaks to you and to me, my brother, it can penetrate any blindness. It can penetrate any deafness or any darkness. But He is not going to violate our free will in His speaking. How many notice that in the Bible, God never makes anyone think or do anything that they really don't want to do? It simply says that God brings light, and that light will make it possible for us to see and to hear. Think of a natural light for a moment. If we are in total darkness, in a room that is totally dark, and the light comes on, you are able to see at that point, aren't you? It does not matter whether you want to see or not. Now you can, and if you choose to, you know, close your eyes, then, you know, you will be in the darkness again. And that is your choice. People, believe it or not, are making these choices. They're closing their eyes to God speaking all the time before the Lord. Now, when God speaks or when He brings light, it awakens something. And, you know, and even in the unsaved person, so that they can see the light of Christ and come to Him. God does not make them come to Christ because they can refuse. God never pushes anybody to Christ because they can refuse. But faith is possible if they will open themselves up to that drawing. This is something that God initiates. Let me say that again. This is something that God initiates in us, and we must respond by our hearing. Now, the Calvinists would say that whenever God speaks, if we are one of the elect, and that's in quotations, we will hear because we are elected to hear. They say this is just how it works with election. But if we are not one of the elect, we will not hear. This is all set in stone. But, you know, I'm not making this up. This is what they believe. But God speaks all of the time, and we will be able to recognize and hear if God speaks to us. But it is up to us whether or not we do hear or embrace the truth. There will always be enough grace to turn, but we can harden ourselves against it. Yes, we can. And so forth, faith, that true faith, the faith of Jesus Christ, comes not by our speaking or by our doing, nor by our thinking or our being emotional, but by our hearing. How many understand that faith is not emotional? Let me say that again. How many understand that faith is not, repeat, not emotional? Faith is not intellectual. Oh, no. Faith, true faith, the faith of Jesus Christ, is spiritual. And behind that, really, faith is more moral. In the final analysis, faith is a relationship initiated by God between God and man, wherein man embraces God and begins to rely and depend on Him. That would be God. And to trust in Him. ultimately, of course, this also leads to where God wants to get us to, and that is to a surrender to Him. If my faith in God does not lead me to give myself to Him, then certainly it is a faith that is stopping short of God and His glory. This topic of what is true faith is deep, and it cuts at the heart of what is Christianity and what does it mean to be a believer and just so much more. Let us not grow tired of exploring this topic, my friend. Another thought we must look at is, what is the Word of God when God speaks? We know in the parables of the sower in Matthew 13:3-23 and in Luke 8:5-15, now the seed was the Word of God, Luke 8:11. Well, Jesus Christ is the Word of God, is He not? Jesus is the living Word, my friend. I hope we do not have to, guess on that one. So let us turn to Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1. Amen. Ready? Read. God, who at different times and in different manners spoke in times past unto the fathers by the prophets. The implication here, going into verse 2, is that God is not speaking by the prophets anymore in that way. Rather, He, God, is speaking to us through a different means. It says in verse 2, but in these last days, and that would be the days of Paul, God has been speaking unto us by His Son. Wow, by His Son. This could very easily be understood if I could say it in other words. God is speaking to His people through an ongoing inward revelation of the person of Jesus Christ, who is supposed to be in us. Let me say that again. God is speaking to His, that's you and I, His people, through an ongoing inward revelation of the person of Jesus Christ, who is to be in all of us. Or God is speaking to us in through His Son. This is a kind of strange how we all go around looking for this leading and for that leading. We want God to tell us what to do and how to do it and explain all this kind of stuff to us. Now, I'm not saying God will not sometimes provide that, but one thing for sure, God operates by divine spiritual principles that He has established in His written word and more often in His spoken word. But we are told here in verse 2, and the implication is that all through the Scriptures that God is instead speaking to us through a revelation in our inward parts of His, that's God's Son, Jesus Christ. So if we come to know Jesus, then by extension, out of that, we are going to begin to know God's will. Wow. We will begin to have wisdom if we have Jesus dwelling within us. In Colossians 2:3, tremendous verse, Paul writes, in whom, that would be Jesus, are hidden all of the, and it says all, that means not some, but all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Colossians 2:3. It is only as He, Jesus, is unfolded in us that those treasures of wisdom and knowledge can be known by us. Why are we asking God for wisdom and knowledge for this or for that, apart from Jesus Christ? I will stop a second and let that thought soak in, because that is very, very important. My friend, we do not need to ask God for wisdom and for knowledge or any of that stuff. Oh, no. We need to ask Him to reveal to us more of Jesus. And then all of those things that we're asking God for will just come right away along. If Jesus is in us, then we have those things. Maybe this is one reason why there is not much wisdom and knowledge found in the church today. Maybe this is why so many denominational churches are floundering. And so it says here that God is speaking to us through His Son. Now, He is the Word that God primarily speaks to us whereby. And if we hear and embrace it, faith comes to be in us. It is a revelation, a sunwise revelation of Jesus Christ. Last thought for today, if God reveals to us more of Jesus, and we see and we hear Him and open ourselves to Him, then faith, my friend, the true faith, the faith of Jesus Christ, will come to be in us. Amen. More next week on what is true faith. This has been David Saul from Beholding His Glory, trusting and hoping His teaching is benefiting you, and trusting and hoping that you have become more conformed into the character and the image of our dear Son, Jesus Christ. Amen, and God bless, and I'll talk to you next week. Bye.